Hello, everyone. This is our fifth class of Christian womanhood, and today we're going to be looking at to love their children out of Titus chapter 2, and we will start with reading there. Before we get started, I don't know if you're feeling kind of like we need to get back into the groove that we had going before. I know I do, and then it's awkward as well for me because the whole setup has changed, so I'm now sitting at my dining room table and quarantined to my house right now, self-quarantine. My husband and I had to make a trip to Tennessee to see our oldest son. He was having some serious health issues, and we were very concerned, and he was going to have a test run, and I just didn't want him to handle those things by himself, and he had some issues at his house that needed taken care of and couldn't do them because of the lack of energy at this time, and so we went down there and helped him out. So, of course, we missed last week because of that. I think the week before I was sick, if I can recall, but so much has happened with all of this. But anyway, so we are here. We both feel fine. I really feel like we're probably more exposed here in Sioux Falls than we were at all during our traveling. The airports were practically empty. And coming back on Sunday, the one time it was a little more people, but still nothing like normal. And we are just while we were there, I think they have fewer cases in that county by far than what we now have. When we left, it was about the same. So anyway, we're back here. We're trying to be careful, and just a lot of things going on that are distracting. So I'm trying to get back into everything here and get my mind back into the lessons we were having. But Lord willing, he'll help us and we'll be able to get focused. And let's just start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. And Lord, for what you're teaching me as I study, Lord, there's so much here, so much more than I could begin to grasp. And Lord, so many things that, Lord, sometimes I wish I could turn back time and get another chance. But Lord, we only have one chance. But Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to teach and share some of the things that I've learned through study and through experience. I pray that you'd bless each lady. Lord, I know that what's going on in our country and is also going on in the world with the coronavirus. And I pray for the ladies in Ghana, that you'd be with them and protect them, as I know their world has been crazy and turned upside down, and they're probably still experiencing many difficulties due to being stuck in their homes. And I pray you just provide for their needs and take care of them and give them peace in their minds, and Lord, help them to continue to trust you and give them wisdom as, Lord, we want to be a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that you just help each one of us and help them especially. And Lord, the ladies here, Lord, that come, Lord, just bless each one, Lord, I pray. And Lord, we look forward to the time that we can be together again and these quarantine things be lifted and things can go back to somewhat of normal. We thank you for what you'll do. Bless in tonight's lesson. Help me as I teach. May everything be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as we get started today, I'll just kind of review a little bit. The last lesson we had, we were looking at to love their husbands. Let's start by reading Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And we'll just stop there because that's where we are. So last time we looked at to love their husbands, and we talked about how loving our husbands is an affectionate love, a friendly love. God wants us in our marriages to have a love that is, we just enjoy each other, to go through life as partners, to share the joys, to share the sadness, to have someone beside you when trials come. And he wants it to be heaven on earth for us, but so many times it's not. And so we talked about ways that we can love our husbands, and you would think that these things will come naturally. I think for women to love our husbands in a self-sacrificing way sometimes becomes natural, maybe where we would die for them. We're very concerned when things go wrong, but the daily mundane things that start to get, the annoyances that come up and then take away that affectionate love that we have, just that fondness that should be between us. And we have to work at making sure that things don't come between us as life goes on, and that we still are loving with that everyday kind of joyful, enjoying life and sharing the grace of life together kind of love. And so as we start here, I just want to say that the Christian home ought to be full of love, a love that is self-sacrificing and unconditional. But like we talked about last week, this friendly, affectionate, fun kind of love that we're just enjoy life together. And as we get into loving our children, we're going to be looking at a similar kind of love. But this love includes loving, it's loving with fondness. It's not so much the friend kind of love, although there's nothing wrong with that to a degree, but we're to love with a fondness and an affection as well. But it's different than the love that you have towards your husband just because the relationship is different. But I just want to start by saying one of the ways you love your children well is to love your husband well. If you are struggling in your love with your husband, it doesn't matter what you do with your children, that's going to affect your children. And so we definitely, ladies, need to make sure that we're enjoying life with our husband, that we're a team, that we're a partnership working together, that relationship is right, and then we'll be able to love our children right as we partner together to train those children and to be what God wants us to be. So as we look at loving our children, I didn't write the definition for love down here because it's slightly different when you go back to, I've been taking a concordance and looking at the Greek word for it, and I don't know the first thing about how to pronounce them, so I haven't done any of that. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm understanding the full definition of it, and this just said to be fond of. So when you look at the definition and the things that I put on our last lesson about loving our husbands, it's that affectionate kind of love, being tender towards them and just liking them. Those are things that are entailed in that. And the opposite of that would be when we dislike them, when we are disgusted with them, we are disinterested in them, and we're ignoring them. Those are the opposites of loving our children the way God wants us to do. In today's world, as I was thinking about loving our children, so many things have come up. I was thinking about the news stories that we see often of maybe someone who... the DSS shows up at a house and they get into the home and the home is just a total wreck. Sometimes animals and animal feces everywhere, and the children, no one is taking care of them. They're filthy. They're unkempt. Their clothes are in tatters. No one's been feeding them properly. I read a story recently, diapers hadn't been changed in forever. That is the total opposite of loving your children. And we see that in today's world, and I can't imagine that. Or even worse, the stories where we see a child locked in a closet for years on end and not fed properly. And we think, how in the world can people even be like that? But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible tells us that in the last days, things would be like this. And I can't do two things at once, so I'm trying to think of where the book of Timothy is at the same time as I'm turning and I'm going the wrong direction. So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says in the last days, verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And verse 3 says, "Without natural affection." People will not have the affection that we would think would just come naturally. When my children were first put into my arms, just the love that overwhelmed me as I looked at this tiny being that is put into my care. And some people don't have that. And it's just amazing. When I think of that, I think of abortion. I cannot, without natural affection, that's the total opposite. Why would you kill the life that God has given you? Take away a human life. It boggles my mind. I can't think of it. And these are definitely without natural affection, thinking of abuse and abortion and these things. But then we go to some lesser things that sometimes, you know, we would think as Christian ladies, we would never, ever consider being that way towards our children or doing that to our children. But think of some of the things that sometimes come into our minds and things that we're told by women around us and the world around us is constantly pushing its agenda that children are a hindrance to a woman's potential. You can't do everything that you are meant to do if you have children. They're a bother, a nuisance. They're expensive. We need to wait till we have them because they're going to hinder what we want to do in life. These are things that our world philosophy just puts out to us. And we have to remember that this is not biblical. If we look at the biblical view of children, if I go to Psalms, the book of Psalms and Psalm chapter 127, Psalm 127, I want to find it here. I'm thinking as I say that, my husband says it's incorrect to say that. So Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children, God's view of children, they're a gift from God. They're a blessing. They're fruit that is a reward from God. They're his reward. Then verse 4 says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I think of that. I think of going to war. What man, when he goes to war, is going to take very little arrows if the ammunition are the arrows and his weapon is his bow? What man is going to go with just a couple arrows? God said children are arrows in the hand of a mighty man. He's going to want his quiver full of them. As it goes down, it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. He wants a full quiver. Why? Because these arrows, these children, God says are given to us to be shot out at the appropriate time into the enemy camp. And they're to do damage to the enemy. That's what God meant for children to be and to do. Go to Psalm 128, verses 3 and 4. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. When we plant a garden, any kind of produce that we are desiring, how many want it to be fruitful? I mean, when I want to grow a tomato plant, I want more than one or two tomatoes on it. I'm happy when it is very fruitful. And the vine here, maybe a grapevine, I don't know what kind, but it's a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. And the children were like olive plants round about the table. And then he goes on and says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Children are a blessing. And that's how they were looked upon. Another place in Psalm 113. In verse 9, the Bible says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. They bring joy. Now, one other scripture here, Matthew 19, 13 and 14. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We see Jesus in his earthly ministry loved children. And he pulled them up into his lap and he blessed them. This is the biblical view of children. This is how God wants us to view children, not just our children, but children in general. Again, maybe you are a woman listening, a lady listening that does not have children of your own. Maybe you're married, but God has not given you children. You can still, there are other children who maybe don't have a home that like God wants a home to be. And maybe there are a lot of children nowadays that lack affection, and a godly woman could give them a proper kind of affection and be a testimony to them where they could see the Lord. Maybe you're a single lady. The same thing applies. There are children that you can make a difference in their lives. In Bible times, children were desired. I think of in Ghana, it's even different. The culture there is very different than American culture. In the fact that children are still desired. If you don't have children in Ghanaian culture, I from what I understand, it's a stigma from other people. Now, as Christian ladies, we understand that it's not that God is cursing you if you don't have children. We understand that God sometimes has a greater plan and a different purpose in what he does. And sometimes there's health issues and there are things like that. But the point is, children are desired. And we do understand that God, I think of Sarah, I think of the ones who were barren in Bible times who then had a child later on. God had a purpose in that. Sarah, as she had Isaac, or Rebecca, or Hannah, I think about how she prayed for Samuel. Elizabeth, when God gave her John in later time, they were special children that God gave. But maybe you can adopt, and there are other ways. But if you can't have a child permanently through adoption or through fostering, you can do have children, or you can just be a blessing to children around you. Start a Bible club in your neighborhood and reach out to children that need to see the love of the Lord. So clearly God's view of children is very different than our view today. And so as we look at it, I just want to be very practical today. This is by no means an exhaustive list. There are many things that you're going to think about as I'm talking. Write these down. But these are some things that God brought to my mind as I was studying through them. Children, how do we love our children? It says that the older women are to teach the younger to love their children. How can we love our children? How does God want us to love our children? I'm going to start with very practical, and actually I was surprised at myself, positive information here. But show love by caring. If your children don't know that you care for them, they're going to look elsewhere for that love and that care and that concern. as I think about that, I think about just some very basic things. You know, when that baby, that infant is put in your arms, we love that child. It's put there, it's natural to just love that child. As they grow older, there come hard times. It doesn't take much time. Maybe when they scream all night, it's a little harder to love as you've been up all night with a child and you don't know what to do with them, but we still love them. But as they get older, sometimes it becomes harder and we're not quite, sometimes it's pretty easy when they're first born to you feed them, you put them to bed, you make sure they're clean and they're going to be happy. And it's pretty easy. As they get older, it becomes a little more varied in how we're going to meet their needs. But we need to care, show them that we care. Children need to be told that we love them. Our husbands need to be told that we love them. I always think of that illustration where the man said, you know, someone asked him, do you tell your wife that you love her? He said, I told her that when we got married. You know, sometimes we're like that. We forget that telling more than once, letting them know I love you, even maybe after they've displeased us, is when they really need to see, our children need to see that we love them. So tell them that you love them. Children need touch and tenderness. I wrote here in my notes in Isaiah 66 verse 13, just a portion of a verse, it says, as one whom his mother comforteth. It's just natural for a mother to comfort her children. Children need touch and tenderness. They need us to give them a hug and to hold their hand and comfort them. They need that. That seems to be very simple and basic, but sometimes as life gets busy, I just give you an example that just popped in my mind. Evidently, I said too often, oh, you're okay, shake it off, you know, just not wanting to over comfort and create sissy boys, you know. And one day I stubbed my toe. I hit it against something. It hurt so bad. And I grabbed my toe and I'm, oh, and I'm hopping around. And Jesse goes, you're okay. Just shake it off. And I remember thinking, how do you know it's my toe? But I thought, how many times have I said that to the kids? We need to have tenderness. A mother should be tender. Think of the opposite, a hardened, calloused person who is not touched when children, God is touched with our infirmities. God's touched when we're sad and when we cry. And we need to be touched when our children are sad and give them tenderness. Children need to be bathed. You know, when I talk about these cases of abuse that we hear, unfortunately, way too often in the news, lots of times the children have not been bathed. They've not been cleaned. They need clean clothing, a clean living space. These are important. We're going to be talking about this more as we get into keepers at home because that directly relates to that. So I won't go into that too much, but children need that. Children need to be fed healthy, nourishing meals. They need to be fed regularly. We need to take care of that. Many of these stories, oftentimes the children, even my mother did a little bit of foster care in the past, and sometimes the children came and all they were eating on is just bags and bags of chips, potato chips, because no one had taken care of them. And so we need to take care of our children. Children need us to notice when something is wrong. When they're little, they start crying. We realize they need their diaper changed. That's not so hard. But when they get bigger, we need to be noticing when something is wrong with them, when their spirit is not right. Maybe they're being more rebellious than usual. Maybe they are sad. Notice. Sometimes things happen in their lives and they don't tell. I heard of a very terrible case of something that a lady did not share until she was an adult and married. Something happened in her childhood and she said no one had ever told her, but she just instinctively knew that it was wrong. It was not her fault, but she never shared. And I thought, how could no one notice? Something had to change in that little girl's demeanor. And sometimes we're not all knowing as God is. And sometimes we miss things, but try, do your best so that when we look back, we can say, I tried to be in touch. I tried to notice when my child, the spirit was wrong and there was something going on in their heart. Children need us to protect them from evil influence. I'm going to speak a little more about this later too, but people maybe in their lives who are a bad influence I think it's in 1 Samuel. From the word of God and the right truth in the word of God and how they should live. Children need praise. That's another way to care. We need to be praising them. It's so easy to be saying no, especially when they get into that toddler age and they're touching everything. But as they get older, it's still easy to always say no. Make sure you're not just saying no for the sake of saying no. Make sure you're praising when there is something to be praised so they know that you love them and that you care about them. If we go to Deuteronomy 6:7, I want to talk a little bit now about showing love by teaching and training. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. I'm going to read the verse here. There are other verses I could have gone to. There are so many verses, but I'm probably already going to be longer than I want to be. And so I had to just be careful to keep it down to just a few. Deuteronomy 6 And verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And it was talking in verse 5, it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. It has to be in your heart first. If you don't love the Lord, how are you going to teach it to your children? If his ways aren't your desire, how are you going to teach that to your children? But God wants these words to be in our heart. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then we teach them to our children. A very important verse here. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So to teach, what does that mean? Teach means to instruct. It means to just sit down and give instructions. To inform, to give somebody knowledge and information that they did not have before. But training entails a little bit more. It includes to teach, but also it's to form by instruction, but also by practice. And as we train, we are showing them how, we are walking alongside of them and encouraging them. This is the way you do it. No, not like that. Do it like this. And we're just there and we're helping them walk through doing it. I'm trying to think of an illustration, maybe with an instrument. As you play an instrument, you don't just tell them how to do it and then let them to themselves, but you train them. You help them place their fingers, and you correct when they're not doing it right, and you encourage when they are doing it right. That is training, doing it with them, being there right beside them. So what do we need to teach and train? Well, the first thing, obviously, is the Word of God. The whole purpose that we are placed here is to glorify God. And how can we do that without knowing what the Word of God says? So teach your children Bible stories. I think of 2 Timothy 3:15, where Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. And who taught him that? Well, earlier it says about how this faith was in his grandmother and his mother. And so they are the ones that taught him this, the Bible stories. Teach them. Start when they're little. They can understand Bible stories. Keep it simple, but be teaching them so that they understand the stories of the Bible and that they know these examples that God gives us and that are there for our edification and for our knowledge. And so we will know how to live a life pleasing to God. Memory verses. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to be teaching our children Bible verses. That's important. Start when they're very young. I heard of someone teaching a child not even 2 yet and is repeating the words. You know, there are scriptures that I know and can quote today that I have no remembrance of when I learned them. But I'm sure as I taught my boys through Rebecca and I was teaching them some of these passages, I realized this is when I learned these. As I was in school and as I was, but those are things that stick in my mind, and you know, they stay better. They're there and stronger as far as getting them correct and requoting them than some of the things I try to learn today. Also, teach them memory verses. It will be in their heart and it will remind them what God wants. Bible principles. These are important too. Require obedience first, but always take the time to explain why we are doing what we are doing. Teach them Bible principles. God's word is our guide. God has the answers to all of life's questions and wisdom for all life's decisions. Teach them to go to the Word of God, and that God's Word will show them how to make decisions in life, show them which decisions to make, and give them guidance in their life. We need to be teaching them that. Most importantly, though, teach them salvation. And then once they're saved, teach them to have a walk with God. And again, you can't do that if it's not in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. If you start and why God wants them to do it and to follow the Word of God. And if they'll learn how to do that, they'll do it in our absence as well. So then teach them life skills. These are things that are important. There are things that skills that God has given you that you can teach. There are things that I cannot teach my children because I myself do not know how to do them. But there are other things that I do know how to do. So cooking, baking, sewing, these are things I could teach. Now, God did not give me girls. And so I've taught my boys a few of these things, but I've not been able to pass on some of these things. But there are things that in your culture that probably are necessary that aren't here. Teach them to your children. Give them those life skills so that when they leave your home, they can do those. I've heard of children who have never been taught how to cook, and maybe the mom didn't know how to cook. But teach them so that when they have a home of their own, they can cook. They know how to do it from scratch. And when I say from scratch, I should explain that. That means just like you always do in Ghana, when you don't have, you take all the ingredients and you make it. Here we buy a box that says cake mix on it, and we throw it in a bowl, add a little water, and we've got a cake. in Ghana, you have to go, and this is the way what I mean by scratch. I was taught this growing up, so when I went to Ghana, it wasn't very hard to get the flour and the sugar and all the ingredients and put a cake together. So, but these are things we need to be teaching our children. Make, give them chores at early ages. Teach them that we're not just here to have fun. It's okay to have fun, and playing is fun. And children, the younger they are, the more play they need. But we need to be teaching them. Teach girls how to keep a house, how to cook, how to clean, how to do crafts. Teach boys how to do chores as well. And even things in the kitchen are helpful for them. My son is not married right now, and he's having to use those skills. But give the boys more boy chores, fix-it projects, yard work. Definitely make sure the girls are learning to be feminine, because God's plan for them will revolve around the house, and make sure the boys can do things that are more masculine. Now, I say that. That doesn't mean a girl can't ever mow the lawn. I love to mow the lawn. I was told in Ghana that they didn't like that very much when I did it. So I just told them to look the other way and not watch me while I did that. But I enjoy working outside. But at the same time, if there has to be a choice, my sons need to do the outside work. I need to be indoors, because that's the way God meant for me to do. They don't. God didn't mean for the young man to be inside doing the laundry and cooking the meals and doing all of that. Is it wrong for him to do that occasionally? No. But in general, his job is more the masculine, hard, where you need strength chores. So teach them, though, to keep themselves and their surroundings neat and orderly, and to just have good manners. That's important. Who taught me how to do the normal things like brushing my teeth and combing my hair? Well, my mother did at some point. And we need to be teaching our children these things, good manners. You know, as we get older, we all have things we can learn. And I see sometimes I'm like, oh boy, you know, I need to work on this. And then in my children, sometimes I see it and they do it out in public. And I'm like, oh, I got to remind them that you don't do that. But you know what? That's part of our job, to be teaching the children. Teach them character traits and the life application of those traits. I don't have time to get into all these. In fact, I'm taking longer than I meant to. And maybe I'll just finish part of this lesson next week. But teach them character traits and the life application of these. You know, my husband and I, when the boys were young, started to go through, it was a list of 49 character traits. And if any of you are interested in that, I have that list and we can make a copy of it and send that to you. But it just had a working definition for each one. But it was interesting, because as we started to try to teach the children, there were things that we needed and we noticed in our own life. You know, in our children, it's so easy. We can focus on the areas they need as an individual. But when we do that, oftentimes God will point out things we need in our own lives. And I read a book one time talking about training children, and he made a comment, and it really stuck with me, that training children is not a one-size-fits-all. In other words, what one child needs isn't always what another child needs. And he pointed out an illustration. I can't remember the name of the book, but I'll use the illustration. But I'll let you know it's not something it's something I read. But he was talking about parents, how both parents, they detested lying. And boy, and their children, the minute one of them even came close to being untruthful, boy, they just took care of it right away. You're not going to lie in this household. That's a sin. That's wrong. But both parents had a propensity to be lazy and weren't as diligent as they should have been in their work. And so the other child, you know, first child, he never got away with lying. The other child, he didn't have much problem with lying, but he was a little bit lazy. And he got out of work anytime he could, but they didn't notice that because that was their own weakness. And so we need to be careful as we train our children. And that child grew up to be lazy. That was never dealt with in his life. We're not going to be perfect in these areas, but ask God to make you aware of your own blind spots and ask God to help you see where your children need growth and correction and train them in those areas. Some children are naturally cheerful. Other children are not. We have to work with them. So here are just a few I listed, but I can give you, if you want it, please just send me an inbox or tell my husband and we can get you the list. But teach them to be cheerful. This is important. The Bible says that we're to rejoice always, to be diligent in their work. The Bible says not slothful in business. Teach them self-control with their brothers and sisters. This is in all stages. You know, when the little one, they can show this very early, get angry at a toy or something, throw it and scream. We have to stop that. You're not going to do that. But as they get older, when they get angry at a brother or a sister, this is part of our job to teach them kindness in word and deed, and integrity, genuineness, sincerity. These are things that are important, teaching them that they need to be careful what they say, and they need to be real. And by being real, so many times I hear that, and it's almost like people, it's an excuse for showing out something that we shouldn't be an attitude is wrong and we just, well, I can't help it, I'm just going to be real, and we just automatically show a bad attitude. No, the point is, get your attitude right and your heart right so you can show out what God wants you to be. That's what genuineness means. Not that you just tell someone every thought you've had about them that's wrong. No, get your thinking right. And then, and that's what we need to be teaching our children. But many times these are areas in our own lives we need to be working on. And so we're not noticing them in our children, or we can't deal with them because our kids know, well, mommy, you yelled and screamed when you got upset and you hollered at everybody, and why can't I? And so we've got to be careful to make sure we're exemplifying the kind of traits in our children. We're exemplifying in our own life so our children will follow and do what they should do. So then teach them obedience and respect. If we go to the book of Ephesians, I'm sure most of us have taught our children this verse very early on. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I'm trying to get here because I want to read a few of the other verses and I don't want to misquote them. And when I teach on here, for some reason, every verse that I do know just goes out of my head. So second verse, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. This is a promise. This is a promise from God. Our life will be longer if we honor and obey our parents. So we need to be teaching our children to honor and to obey. And you know what? When we teach our children to obey us, it's more than just teaching them to obey us. We're not trying to raise children so we can have a trophy and we can hold them up and we can say, look at how good my kids are. Look at how well they obey. Our ultimate goal is that one day, as they learn to obey us, they will learn to obey the word of God, the Lord Jesus in their life, and they will learn to follow him and they will obey him immediately. And that's what we're trying to teach in our children. So these are some verses. I'll speak more on that. Let me just come down. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Today's world is very against any kind of, we would call it corporal discipline, but discipline with the rod. But the Bible speaks of disciplining with the rod. And there's a correct way to do it, definitely. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the rod of anger will fail. God doesn't want us disciplining in anger. If we're disciplining because we are upset or because they've angered us, the only reason we are to discipline is to draw them, to correct them, to get them back on the right track so their attitude will change. We can't do that if we're angry and we're disciplining in a way that would not be pleasing to the Lord Jesus. If we go to Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Boy, these are very, very, they're just no-nos in today's world. And people have to be careful. In today's world here, you know, we need to be, how's the verse go? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's a time and a place to do that disciplining. And also, discipline is not the first resort either, with the rod. First, we should give reproof. Give a child, make sure that they are truly in rebellion against what you've said and that they are truly, make sure it wasn't just an accident. There are things we don't need to discipline for. A child spilling his milk at the table, that doesn't require discipline unless he was doing something you told him not to do as he did it. But in general, accidents happen with all of us. So we need to be careful that the discipline is for direct disobedience. And disobedience includes several things. Disobedience is delayed obedience is disobedience. When you tell your child to do something, they need to learn to obey right away. That could save their life. Just think of, we have a road out here. If I had a small child and I told them stop, if they did not stop at the right time, they could be hit by a car. We need to teach them to obey right away. And with God, they need to obey without questioning. They need to obey exactly what God says. Let's move on. The Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So many children today are left to themselves. The mother is not in her place, and the father is not doing his job, and that child is on his own, making his own decisions, doing whatever he wants to do, and that is causing great trouble in our world today. And so we need to be careful to bring us to shame. Then the Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The child that is corrected, you'll have rest. If you'll do it God's way, do it early, do it when they're young. It doesn't take much. When they're touching something they shouldn't be touching, and you teach them that, no, you're not going to touch that, you need to stop, and you teach them that you mean what you say, as they get older, they obey because you've trained them to obey. And you don't have to keep jumping up and running after them. And many times when that happens, it's because there's not been proper discipline in that child's life, and the boundaries And I'm going to say something about that in a little bit, but the boundaries are constantly moving. The child does not know what to expect, or he knows that you don't mean business until the fifth time or whatever. So we have to be careful to correct them. It will bring you rest, and not just when they're still in the home and when they're still little, but as they get older, they will bring you rest because they will not bring pain to your soul. Let me take a drink here. So we are given an awesome responsibility and a privilege to raise our children for the glory of God. They're not given to bring glory and honor to us. I mentioned that earlier. Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. I don't know where it came from. It just came out of nowhere. They're not given to bring glory and honor to us. Like I said, they're not a trophy that we can hold up and say, look at these kids I raised. We're raising them for the Lord Jesus. They're to bring glory and honor to him. And our parent, no child wants to be a trophy of his parents. But when he realizes all Jesus Christ did for him in dying on the cross and shedding his blood and how much he owes him, he'll be happy to give his life to him and please him. So as we train them, remember, we're training them so one day they will respond. As they get older, they will respond to the Lord in the same way they respond to us. I believe there is a time and a place and a need for explanations. I see a lot of this today, and I just want to comment toward it, that there's a time for explanations, but teach your children to obey. When a clear command is given, obey first and get your explanation later. It's very important that they learn that, because in the Word of God, we don't always understand why God says to do something, and maybe we would question it, but we need to obey God first. And the Bible even makes, I'll give you an example of that. The Bible says that what we do in doubt is sin. God wants us because he wants us to learn to obey him right away. So if we're unsure about something, obey. Stay away from that thing that you're questioning until you're sure. And God wants us as parents to teach our children that. And then also another thing, we need to teach them to give honor and respect to both parents. Make sure that you're not doing things behind your husband's back that's teaching them to dishonor him, or allowing things. You know your husband doesn't want something, but you're allowing the kids to do it when he's not there. That's teaching them to dishonor their daddy, and you need to be careful not to do that. And sometimes, I would hope no one would do that purposely, but we need to be careful that we're not even doing it accidentally and allowing things when we're just there that the children are getting away with that dad doesn't want. Teach them about life's temptations. There are things you've been through that you can teach your children, and you can encourage them and show them the pitfalls, but also teach them how to avoid those pitfalls. Teach them where the Word of God says to guard their thoughts and guard their mind, and what to abstain from all appearance of evil. Teach your children about life's temptations so they don't fall into them. They should be learning those things from us. The parent that says, well, they gotta learn it on their own. First off, a child that has to learn everything on their own is headed for a lot of trouble. But a parent that would let them learn it on their own doesn't have a proper tenderness and care. We need to care for our children and do everything we can. And some things they will have to learn on their own. But if they learn it on their own, I want it to be because they haven't listened, not because I didn't teach them. So then show love by listening. And I'm going to have to stop. I'm not going to finish all of this, but show love by listening to them. We need to listen when they're little, when it's trivial, and when they come and they have a story. And I think of a movie I watched a long time ago. It was called Old Yeller. And the older man said to the boy in the movie, he said, son, does this story have an end? Sometimes we feel that way with our children. They come and they talk and you're busy and you have things you're trying to focus on. Or maybe they ask question after question. I had one of mine that had so many why this, why, you know, you put the water in the top, why? Well, I don't know. You put it, it comes through, why? You know, I just think he just wanted to hear himself say why. But, you know, listen, answer when it's trivial. If you listen when it's silly, they'll share when it's not silly. So listen to them, but also listen when they're silent. Realize if you've been listening and they were talking and all of a sudden it's silent, you're going to realize, wait a minute, like I said earlier, what's up? Something's wrong. Something's changed here. Many times, you know, their spirit changes. You can sense that there's something wrong. Be listening. Go in and talk. Ask questions and pray much. And I have that further down. We're not going to have time to get to that, but pray much. Take the time to listen, though, and go in and just talk to them. Listen when they're sharing their hopes and their dreams and the things they want in life. Listen to them. Encourage them. And just be there for them. If you'll do that, they won't go where someone will listen. And many times when a parent doesn't listen, the people they go to get their listening ear are those that you would never have chosen, and they're those who won't give godly advice. So we need to be there for our kids. These are some ways we can love our children. And I'm sure you can put many, many more ways in. I have more. I'm going to get into a few other things. Show love by playing. I'm going to give a few ways how we're not showing love, and we'll talk about that. And just it won't take very long to end what I didn't finish. And what I'm going to do, I think it'll go together. I'm going to speak next lesson, which may be before the next Thursday. I may fit my lesson that I need to make up in earlier. We'll see how this week's goes. Hopefully it has a little less interruptions, a little fewer interruptions than last week did. But I'll be talking about keepers at home. They were to teach the young women to be keepers at home. I'm going to go into that because I'll be able to go quickly from the children straight into that, and I think it'll connect well. So it's been good having the lesson with you. I hope you're understanding. If you have any questions, feel free to communicate with me via Facebook and inboxing. And I'm praying for you ladies over there. I hope that everyone's doing well, that your needs are being provided for. We're definitely praying, though, that God would take care of you. And just know that. So hope to see you down the road sometime. But the Lord bless you today. Bye-bye.